Here. Amen.
He taught a class.
Greetings of my precious wife, wonderful wife, four little baby girls. I've seen that little girl right there. That's about the age of my youngest one. So I'm telling you, Well, praise God, we're going to get in the shout tonight or something, because if we don't, my mind's going to be on that baby, huh?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. But it is an honor to be here. I appreciate Brother Ray calling me and asking me to come on up this evening. You know, I know how it is when you're the first time in a church. I mean, come on here. They kind of give you that checkout service.
Yeah, come on.
That's how it is. You know, they're checking you out.
We're just people.
Yeah, well, hey, don't feel too bad. You know, I'm checking you out too. Hallelujah. But you know, if we're not careful, we will spend all night long playing that game, and we may just miss what God wants for our lives.
Come on.
So I think the best option we've got tonight, let's just get in and let God have his way. What you say?
Amen.
Let's just get in and let the Lord do what God wants to do in our hearts. How many of you believe that God can do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ask?
Amen.
Help him, Lord.
Oh, I appreciate the good spirit of God we feel in this house tonight. He's alive, church. He's alive and well. He's coming back after people. He's ready and looking for him. Amen. You have your Bibles tonight? Turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. Apologize for my voice. I just got back from the Bible school in Pennsylvania. And I was there for 2 weeks. Of course, you're using your voice all day and night. I don't know why these Pentecostal preachers get a raspy voice. Matthew, chapter number 7. I want to begin reading in verse number 7. You get there, say amen.
Amen.
Jesus says this to you and me tonight. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you.
Amen.
Everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened.
Yeah.
What man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, leave him a stone?
Come on.
If you ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?
Come on.
Bless
him,
Lord.
Come on, think about that. I want to preach tonight. The Lord had helped me. The Holy Ghost anointed me. And I know here it is, first time here. I know that. I realize that. If we can get past all that tonight and try to listen to what God wants to say in this house, I want to preach tonight simply on this. Prayer.
Come on.
Prayer. Is that all right? Can we slip up our hands to heaven? Can we ask God to move one more time in this service? Can we lift our voices and petition the throne room of God that the Lord would move in this house? Father, I thank you today. Thank you for every man and woman that's here tonight, God. I thank you, God, for this great church. I thank the Lord that you're able to touch our hearts tonight. And I'm asking you that you'd move in a mighty way. I pray lead us in everything said and done. Let the will of God be done tonight. I ask you, Lord, anoint everything. Anoint us, God, and meet us around these altars. For this we give you glory and honor and praise. For it's in Jesus' name that we do pray. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Beloved, hear me tonight. There is absolutely, unequivocally, undeniably no substitute for prayer. Right. You can substitute emotion. You can substitute intellect. You can substitute enthusiasm. But you cannot substitute old-fashioned prayer. Can you say amen? Nobody's going to do your praying for you. There's not a church down the road that's going to pray for this church like we must pray for ourselves. There's not another family that's going to pray for your family like you've got to pray for your family. If God's going to touch your life, it's not because somebody down the road got a hold of God. It's going to be because you have called on the Lord and pulled down heaven and cast out hell. I think it's time we get back to knowing what it means to really pray. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I'll be honest with you tonight. I know some of you young boys got this figured out. I don't really understand, Brother Ray. I that knows everything,
help him, Lord,
would want me to ask him anything? Why would a God that knows everything want me to ask him anything? Why would a God that knows the beginning from the end want me to ask him anything in prayer? I'll be honest with you, friend. I don't have prayer figured out. I can't put my finger on it and say this and this and this. But he's all I know is prayer works. Can you say amen? All I know is when men and women pray, there's things that change. When men and women seek God, he opens up doors and no man can shut. And he shuts doors and no man can open. When we seek the Lord, when we call on his name, there is something about when men and women began to pray.
Amen.
I was preaching a Bible years ago. Had a young man come up to me on last Friday night. He said, Brother Estes, he said, I got a friend. He said, he's an atheist. He said, he doesn't believe in God because he can't figure out God. I said, I'm just curious. What does you and your friend do for a living? He said, we're electricians. I said, what? Can't figure out God. We can't figure out electricity. Ain't stopping him in his shame. He said, Brother Estes, it's easy. You just flip a switch and light comes on. It's a little more complicated than that. Amen. We don't really know why that electricity's burning like it is. We can't truly figure it out. But all I know is we don't have to stay in the dark. You can see, come on here. I don't have to understand prayer for me to use prayer. I don't have to understand prayer for me to prevail in prayer.
Amen.
Help him, Lord.
It's like that old man you heard that was at that church Sunday morning. They was having the Sunday school, and the topic of conversation, the topic of conversation that morning was, what is the proper position to pray in? Oh, when you love men in that class. And they bounced it back and forth. Well, you got to be, you know, this way, you got to be that. And about that time, at the end of that Sunday school class, here's an older man. He sat toward the back of the church. He raised his hand and said, beg your pardon. He said, I know I'm not from around these woods, but he said, I'm a roofer by trade. And the other day, I was on a real steep pitch, and I lost my foot, and I'm getting a slide off the side of that roof. And he said, there's a big old 16-penny nail that was sticking out of that trip edge, and it caught me by my belt loop and twisted me upside down. And I was 8 feet in the air, and I stared at the concrete, and I figured that's a pretty good position to be able to pray in. I don't care if you stand, I don't care if you sit, but there must be prayer. I don't care if you run, and I don't care if you walk, but we need men and women that knows what it means to call on God and say, Lord, I gotta get a hold of God. I gotta cry out to the Lord. Give us heart that knows what prayer is.
Amen.
We don't pray try to get earth's will done in heaven. Prayer is not a five-year-old kid bugging his mom and dad to death till dad finally says, okay, whatever. That's not prayer. Prayer is not getting earth's will done in heaven. It's getting heaven's will done on earth.
That's right.
We're beginning to lose it, even amongst our holiness ranks. We used to believe in not only praying for something, but Mister, we pray against something. Say amen. We knew there was principalities out there. We knew there was spiritual wickedness in high places. And the old timers would get together and they begin to call on the Lord and begin to cry out, Jesus, begin to pulse back that darkness, begin to let the power of God come. It is a war out there. We've got to pray. You don't pray just to have vain repetition, as verse 7 says. When you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do.
Yeah, right.
And think thus should be heard with their much speaking.
Yes, come on.
You don't have to present your prayer to God like some kind of Philadelphia lawyer.
That's
I had a man tell me one time, he said, Brother Estes, I really felt there was a time in my life, I really felt like if I didn't cross every T and dot every I when I was praying about something, then God was going to find a way to get out and answer my prayer. I looked at that young man and I said, that's not what God's trying to do. He's not trying to get out of answer to prayer. He wants to answer the prayer. He desires to answer the prayer. He's not trying to keep it from you. He's trying to get it to you. Says they're there like the heathens do, for your father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. I can't have just kind of an open moment with you right here. Hallelujah.
Help them, Lord.
Have you ever tried to inform God as if God didn't already know? Now, don't look at me so sanctified. You know you have.
Come on.
Yeah.
You ever tried to get down and tell God as if God had no clue, as if God did not know what to do? The Bible said our Father knows what we have need of before we even ask. I got a dear friend of mine, pastors up in Ohio, Brother Kevin Lloyd, was a longtime evangelist. And Brother Kevin said, you know, he got in hot water with the IRS one year. If he ain't never had to deal with that, man, he ain't lived yet. And sure enough, he's in the right. And the government's just trying to come against him all that they can. And he said, no, I have paid my taxes. And they're saying, no, you hadn't. You got to do this. And he said, Brother Estes, he said, I got down and I started praying. And I said, Lord, if you would just do this, and if you would just do this, then Lord, it'll all work out.
Come on.
And the Holy Ghost spoke to Brother Kevin and said, Kevin, I've got 1,000 different ways I can deal with this that you have never thought of yet. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. When I can't see it, Brother Northern, when I don't know how God's going to do it, he says, if you would just make your need known, you ain't got to tell me how to do it. You ain't got to tell me which way to go. You just got to invite God. I'm not praying to try to impress him. I'm not praying to try to inform him. I am praying to try to invite him. And I invite him. And I say, Lord, I've got a situation. Hallelujah. And I need you to touch him. Can somebody get a prayer?
Amen. Glory. Amen.
Oh God. Give us souls again, God. God said, Lord, I've got a situation. I've got a family member. I've got a child. I've got a need. God, I invite you into the middle of this. That's what prayer does. It invites God into places that we can't go. In Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call upon me and I'll show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. If you want God's phone number, it's right there, son. Jeremiah 33:3, just call on the Lord. He said he would answer us.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
In fact, if you study that out, it means literally, call on me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, literally, that you don't have access to. And God says, when you call on me, you don't have access to it yet. But I own the cattle of 1,000 hills. He don't count the cattle, just counts the hills, son. You may not have access to it. We may not have access to it. But the Lord says, I have access to them. People may refuse your phone call. They may refuse your card. They may refuse your care. But they cannot refuse your prayer.
Amen.
I'm trying to get down and preach this for a little while tonight. You want to stay with me just a minute? God's word says this tonight. He said, ask and it shall be given you.
Come on.
Brother Ray, if asking speaks of anything to our hearts tonight, it speaks of a desire. If you don't have a desire for it, you'll never ask.
Right.
I've had a lot of folks say, well, what about this unanswered prayer? What about this? I said, hold on one second. Our biggest problem is not an unanswered prayer. Right over here, church. I said, our biggest problem is not an unanswered prayer. It's an unoffered prayer. I said, it's an unoffered prayer. Do we really have a desire to see God move like God needs to move? I mean, let me ask you a question, friend. When it comes to the service tonight, did it bother you that there's over 1,000 cars that's backed up in traffic and not a one of them seemed to say in their heart, what must I do that I might be saved?
Come on.
All right.
Yeah. Is there a desire?
Come on.
Friend, if it doesn't move you,
come on.
It won't move.
Right.
If it doesn't move you, if it doesn't stir you, why would it get a hold of God? We need one more time. We need brothers, we need sisters to say, God, I'm moved with the desire. God, I've got a need. I'm telling you what, we have come into it. We have found it hook, line, and sinker. We have shrugged our shoulder and everything hell's trying to throw our way. We've said, well, I guess that's how it's got to be. That ain't how it's got to be. That's not how it's got to be. We can still pray and see revival in these last days.
Right.
Years ago, I was in Amalonga, Guatemala. They had a real Holy Ghost move of God. A true heaven-sent revival. They said it started in the 1960s. There was this little house churches that come under severe persecution from the Catholic Church. They kept praying and they kept seeking God and kept praying. In about the mid-90s, there was a revival that broke loose in that place. One of their brothers there told me, they said, there's no more saloons in Amalonga. There may be a little dive here and there, he said, but no more major bars. That's what I was saying. That man told me, he said, it's okay to let your little boy or little girl walk the streets here at night. No man will harm them. You would be a fool to let your child walk the streets of Richmond, Kentucky in the middle of the night. You'd never see them babies again. There's so many perverts out there, so many twisted minded men out there. And you say, well, I guess that's how it's got to be. Well, I guess we just have to accept everything and they're trying to tell us is right. And I guess we just have to accept and no longer is marriage holy and you can marry a man and a man and a man and a dear God. No, sir. No, ma'am. We can still call on God and we can pray and say, Lord, push back my darkness.
Amen.
He said, you see that field out there? I looked at some of the most fertile land. They said, before the revival, it was parched and barren. It now produces 3 crops a year.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, don't tell me prayer didn't work.
Amen.
God's waiting on us to get a desire.
Amen.
God's waiting on us to say that's enough. God's waiting on us to say, devil, you played with my mind long enough. Devil, you try to put spirit of fear on me long enough. God, come on here. They've had my children long enough. They've had me in heartache long enough. Hey, beloved, does it finally hurt enough for you to get down and pray?
Amen.
Some folks, I'll be honest with you, it just don't hurt enough.
Come on.
I ain't saying they don't hurt, but they don't hurt enough to really get a hold of God. It's like that. You heard about that old man, he was on that front porch. He's a rocking back and forth. That old hound dog's there beside him. That old dog's going, now the man walked by and said, sir, your dog. Yep, that dog.
Come on.
Man never says anything. Dog keeps on howling. That man said, sir, what's wrong with your dog? Old timer looks down and says, he's laying on a nail. Young man said, why didn't he move? Old man says, he don't hurt bad enough yet.
Right.
Come on.
Come on.
Right.
Come on.
Lord.
Amen.
Brother Zane, I wish my husband would get saved. Brother Zane, I wish my wife would get saved. Brother Zane, I wish things would loosen up and work. It evidently don't hurt bad enough for you to call on heaven and say, would it come on here? Come on here. As it didn't stop hurt enough, we need to come back to the place where we say, Lord, I will ask. I will have a desire. I will have a burning, yearning need inside of my soul. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. Showed me that fruit there, those vegetables, and I'm longer. Honestly, I ain't exaggerating. I seen carrots the size of a grown man's forearm. I seen cabbage bigger than basketballs. God healed their lands.
Amen.
Come on.
Yeah. Come on.
I dare say we're a little too preoccupied with all these things just to step back and say, Lord, enough's enough. The devil's been pushing me far enough.
Amen.
I'm praying. I'm praying.
Every more.
Come on. Most of us get right there. We just stop. Am I boring you tonight?
No.
Come on.
I just feel like telling a few stories tonight. Is that legal here?
Come on.
You heard about that bully? He told that young boy. He said, hey, after school today. He said, I'm going to whoop up on you. And he said, listen. He said, when you've had enough of me whooping up on you, you just say the word sufficient. And I'll quit whooping on you.
Come on.
The little boy swallowed the lump in his throat. Didn't know what else to do. He started walking home. That big old bully came up to him. Started hitting him. Started whooping on that boy. Knocked that little boy down. But to his surprise, that little boy was a fighter. He fought right back. He started hitting that bully back. And he wasn't big, but he was fast. And he could whack him and pull back and smack him again and then pull back. And before you know it, that bully started getting wore out. It took about 20 minutes. But next thing you know, that little kid is up on top of that bully. And about that time, that bully looks up and says, sufficient, sufficient, sufficient. And the young kid goes, oh no! I've been trying to think of that word for 20 minutes! And come on here! Hey! Beloved, hear me! The devil fights you all week long! And about 5 minutes into the altar, he says, hey, that's sufficient! Go ahead and sit back down! You need to turn around and say no! You've been fighting you all week! You've been battling you all week! And I'm tired! And I'm gonna pray! Can you say? Is there anything left in you that still stirs you to pray? I didn't say that little leg you down to sleep.
Yeah.
I didn't say that little thing you got memorized to the place where you can shut your brain off and still repeat those same words like a parrot.
Come on.
I'm talking about something that grabs a hold of God and says, Lord, I need this to move. I need this to change.
Right.
Yeah. We need a break.
Amen.
We need a breakthrough, God.
Amen.
We got to have an answer.
Yep.
Come on.
Is there anything left in you that still wants to pray?
Come on.
Yeah. Ask, he said. And then Jesus tells you and me this. You with me tonight?
Come on, baby.
Seek. Seek. You shall find.
Right. Yeah.
The moment of asking speaks of desire. I can assure you, seeking speaks of discernment.
Come on.
In other words, God's telling you and me, I'm not against you asking. You need to ask. But when you do ask, you need to search on the inside and say, why do I want what I'm praying for?
Come on.
Why? Yes. That pastor tell me before. Oh, Brother Zane. I wish we had 100 more people. That'd be great if you did. Why do you want 100 more people? Is it so you can brag to the Baptist pastor down the road that you got more than they do? Is it so whenever you go to a holiness ministers meeting, you can strut your stuff like a peacock? Make everybody think you're the top man. Is that your real? What is your motive for why you want what you want? I've seen family members before, and they said, "Pray, how my son needs to get saved," and he doesn't. They're not asking him to get saved because God died on the cross for him. They want him to get saved because he's the black sheep of the family.
Come on.
Oh, that good got good and quiet right there.
Come on.
Y'all pray he gets saved. Because it sure is an embarrassment to us. That's not the right motive.
Right. Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
That's right.
There in Hodgenville, Kentucky. Before we ever went to be associate pastors there, we preached revival there. And you've been there four brothers. God used it. You don't even remember saying it. Well, there was a sister at that church about 6 months after we got there as associate pastors. Her husband come and got saved. She wrote a letter to my wife and I, and she said, "Brother Estes, you said something at that revival a year and a half ago that saved me from making a terrible mistake." I said, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "You said there are people here today that if your backslidden husband did get saved, God would forgive him, but you wouldn't." And
right.
Come on.
Amen. Amen. Bless you.
Right. Amen. Heavy load.
And if they did get saved, and the turnaround and change in their life, and the church would accept them, you'd grow bitter. Because you'd say, "You don't know what kind of man he was for the last 15, 20 years." And I said, "Don't let that become you." Her husband got saved. I mean, that church put their arms around him. We love that man. He's in today. He's a good brother. No, I mean, he's. And she said, it started flaring up in me. Could I really forgive? Like I wanted God to forgive him. And she said, those words come to my heart. And the Holy Ghost pricked my mind and said, "I was talking to you then. I'm talking to you now. Don't become one of those people."
Right.
Why are you asking what you're asking for? What's your motive?
Amen.
What you're praying for.
Amen.
I've heard him say, "Brother Zay, I wish I had $1 million. Why? Why?" The man said, "What would you do if you did have $1 million? Other man said, "You kidding? I'd put it on my bills as far as it goes."
Come on.
Hey, I'm not against God blessing you. I'll be honest. I mean, I'm serious. If God blessed you, and I saw you a week, 3 weeks, 3 months from now, and you said, "Brother Zane, my rich great uncle passed away. He left me the farm, left me 3,000 head of cattle." And I'm telling you what, God's, I'd say thank you. I'm glad for that. I'm not against you. I mean, I want you to be blessed.
Amen. Right.
But why do you want to? I heard an elderly man say this years ago. Brother Ray, I did not like when he said it, but more I thought about it, more I had to say, I think he may be right. The man said, most of us already have just about all the money we can handle.
Oh, man, did that make you sick?
Who wants to hear something like that? Most of us just have just about all the money we can handle.
Right.
Hey, I want you to be blessed. But why do you want what you want? Why do you want God to give you that praise? Oh, I wish God would give you. Let me ask you a question. Are you faithful in your giving what God has blessed you with now?
Yeah.
He is faithful with little. He's faithful with much.
Right.
I mean, if God can't trust you with this much, how can he trust you with this much?
Right. Amen.
In fact, you know what? Can I stop right here and camp out for just a second? Is that okay? If you did drop into $1 million tomorrow, I ain't a prophet nor a son of a prophet. You know them charismatics, boy, they like to prophesy stuff, you know. So, yeah, prophecy.
Come on.
I don't know if we got a charismatic here tonight. I doubt it.
Come on.
Let me go ahead and prophesy to you. This ain't unto the Lord. This is just, thus saith Zane for a second, cutting some slack. But if you did have $1 million, you know what you would do? You would do everything you're doing right now, only bigger.
Right.
That's what you do.
Right.
People that spend every dime and every dollar on every new dress that comes out of Dillard's, I ain't gonna get you having new clothes. But if that's all they do with their money, you give them $1 million, you know what they're gonna do? They're gonna go down there and spend it, and they're gonna have a whole big, big wardrobe, but they're gonna be broke. And come on, at the end of the month, I'll tell you, if that's all you do, that's what you'll continue to do. You know what you would do? If you had $1 million and you already had a pattern in your life to give it to God and give it to the need, making sure these lights are burning, making sure this air conditioner is running, making sure this vacuum cleaner can go back and forth. You know what you do? If God blessed you with $1 million, I believe you'd keep on giving to God. You'd keep on working for God. It's already come on here. It's in your heart. And you're going to say, Lord, you can see it. I want to be blessed. And I might be a blessing to somebody else.
Amen.
Amen.
I got clothes.
Obey the Lord.
Jesus tells us tonight, you have got to ask.
Yeah.
That speaks of desire. You've got to seek. That speaks of discernment.
Come on.
You have got to knock. Yeah. And that speaks of determination.
Right.
And friend, just because you didn't get it on the first time doesn't mean you give up praying. Say amen.
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 Over the Estes, I prayed that prayer before. Nothing happened. Can I share with you a little verse of scripture here? In Matthew chapter number 26, in verse 44, it speaks of Jesus. Verse 44 says, He, Jesus, left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words.
Come on.
I know there's vain repetition out there, but there's a world of difference between vain repetition and knocking. Knocking and saying, Lord, I mean, I know this ain't the first time you've heard me pray this prayer. I know this ain't the first time you've heard me get down and say this, but I'm coming to you one more time, and one day you're going to turn my way. One day you're going to look my way. One day you're going to say, I have heard the prayer of my servant.
Amen.
You know what you knock on? Is it legal to open this door?
Yes.
Is it? You know what you knock on, don't you? You knock on doors that are closed. Here's what you don't do. You don't knock on doors that are already open. I mean, you could do that. We can talk about you after service if you did, but you could do that.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You know you would.
Come on.
What about that mystery door knocker, huh? You don't knock on doors that are already open. You knock on doors that you know it's God's will. And you know God's put the desire in your heart. And you know your motive's pure. And you know you've had discernment. And you said, Lord, it ain't for selfish gain. It ain't to consume it upon my own lust and greed. But God, it is your will. It is your will. And the door is closed. And the Lord says, you keep on knocking. And one day, I don't know when, I don't know where, I don't know when, but one day it opens.
Amen.
One day, the promise that God gave you, you know God put in your heart. And you have searched your soul. And you say, God, it's dry as cracker juice right now. But one day, one day, it's going to open. God's going to meet that need. And you may pray for them, and they may get harder the more you pray. But one day, they're going to turn.
Come on.
Amen. Are they going to turn?
Amen.
One day that man that spoke evil of you because you loved him and kept praying for him, one day, it's hard to be something.
Come on.
If I just know how to pray.
Amen.
Sister, can you help me?
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And
help me, Lord. Is there anything left down deep in your heart that stirs you,
Mom,
to pray? Brother Bowman, I got a dear friend back on the Gulf Coast, deep south. I hadn't seen Tommy for 10+ years. I started revival that Sunday morning, and there he is walking through the door, him and his wife, and he's got 3 beautiful little children. I said, good night, Tommy, come here. He hugged me, he said, Zane Estes. I said, Tommy Castle, how you been? He said, oh man, I've been doing good. God's been good to my family. How about yours? I said, God's been good to us. His oldest girl was probably 14. His middle child was probably about 11. That youngest boy is maybe 9 or 10. He said, Brother Zane, you got time for a story? I said, I do for you, friend. He put his arm around that little 5-year-old boy and he squeezed him up like only a daddy can. He said, well, my wife was carrying this little boy. She goes in for her 4-month checkup. They start running that ultrasound. And they said, Mr. Castle, I'm sorry. Everything is functioning fine as far as all the organs are concerned. But there's an opening in that cerebral cortex in the back of his head. Your child has no brain. And they said the doctors looked at him and said, the best thing you can do is just go ahead and abort this child. He looked back at that doctor. He said, sir! Tommy said it was an hour drive one way to that doctor's office, an hour drive back home. We went in for that 5th-month checkup. The doctor looked at him and said again, Mr. Castle, your baby has no brain. Abort this child. Save your family the misery. He said, it felt like my guts was turning upside down and me and every devil in hell screaming in my ear, you young fool, how can you do this to your wife? Again, he said, no, sir, we believe in prayer. He said, I went back a 6th time, 6 months prayer. Same story. He said, on the 7th month, I went to that doctor's office, and the nurse just sighed and said to herself, he said, you can see it all over her face. She's thinking, here we go again. Said, about that time, I couldn't see the screen. It was not facing me. She said that in the nurse's eyes, the biggest ulcers.
Come on.
She pushed the button.
Amen.
And about 2 minutes later, that doctor walked in that room. He looked at that. He said, his eyes got biggest ulcers. That doctor looked back at me and my wife and simply said to us, don't move, don't leave, stay right here. Brother Tommy said they left me in that room for nearly 45 minutes. He said the only thing kept running through my mind is toxemia, cancer, baby's poisoned your wife, now both of them's going to die. Brother Tommy Castle told me, he said, Brother Estes, they took me down a long, long hallway, turned left, went down another long hallway, opened up a big, huge room, and he said, all standing around the perimeter of that big room, white coat doctors. Everybody's got their eyes on me and my wife. Then the doctor said to him, "Sir, only thing we can tell you is this. 5 months, no brain. 6 months, no brain. 7 months, a fully developed brain."
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Son, your baby health boy. Don't tell me God doesn't answer prayer.
Come on,
amen. Squeeze that boy up to him. I said, "Brother Estes, I just thought I'd let you know. They just tested him for the gifted and talented program at the school. And if you're really smart, you score about an 80 or a 90. He said, "My boy scored 130.
Thank you, Lord.
God does it good. I said, when God does it, God does it good. He's better than any physician. He's better than any medicine. He's better than any psychologist. He's better than any drug. He's the great I am." I believe God's going to preach about this house tonight. I'm just about to ask every last one of us one more time. Is there anything inside your heart still worth praying over?
Come on.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, our hearts are open. You're in this house tonight, and you say, "Brother Estes, I've got a need. I haven't seen that door open yet, but I want God to give me strength to continue to pray that door would open." That you slip up your hand to heaven and say, "That's me, Brother Zane. Look, I thank you and thank you and thank you, you and you and you." That's right. Bring hands all over this house. I would that every last one of us that would. Can we step out from where we're sitting this evening? Those all across this house, can we come in? Can we join in these altars? Can we begin to seek the face of God and believe God to help? Every last one of us that would, let's step out and seek God here. Let's come and make an altar. Now let's come and make an altar. Amen. Brothers on this side, sisters on this side, let's come and seek God tonight. God, stir me to pray. God, help me to pray. Lord, don't let me just